His presence together to share His word, to share His mind. I want to welcome each and everybody that is listening to us, everyone that is a part of the PTMI family, Present Truth Church family, and the rest of the world that is listening to God's word tonight. I believe that you're going to be blessed, you're going to be touched by the Holy Spirit in every way possible. One of the things about God's word is that God's word is food to our soul. God's word is light to our soul. God's word is direction while we are in this place. While we are in this world. Therefore, you can't do without God's word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says something about God's word that I don't want you to forget. To some people it is a very obvious scripture, but then we are going to read it as obvious as it is. It says that let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then it says teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Say amen. So that means that it's the magnificent will of God for us to make sure that the word of Christ, what does it mean, the word of Christ? That means the word and the details that speak about what He has done for us, what He has already done for us, what He has given us, what He has made us, what we can do in Him. He says that let this opinion, let this view, let it dwell in your soul, be full of it at all times. He wants you to know the mind of God concerning what He has given you, who He calls you, who you belong to. He wants you to be well covered unto that, so that even when the enemy fires all these kinds of strategies like he's doing right now, you'll be able to be bold even in such a time like this. Praise the Lord. You must know that God is counting on your boldness on Him. This is the time for you to decide who you're going to believe, who you're going to stand, who you're going to stand for. And I believe that God's word asserts it to us, that when we put the word of Christ in us richly, then it means we are going to stand for the Lord continually. Nothing is going to put us down. Nothing is going to put the idea that we have about Christ down. We are lifted in the name of Jesus Christ. So he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. How is it going to dwell in you? The first thing is that you have to be committed as a person. You have to take responsibility as a person to study God's word. It's not just waiting for a time when you're going to be instructed by a particular man of God, by Apostle Brian, by Teacher Four. Imagine now that Teacher Four is not with us physically. Imagine that now Apostle Brian is not with you physically. You know, I remember the times when I used to tell people, time is going to come when Apostle Brian will go in the UK. He will go in South Africa as a figure of speech. I was telling people, and you will need encouragement. You will need exhortation. And this is a picture of such times, you know, when you are now not with your man of God physically. But then you have to take opportunity to use what exactly was given to you. You know, the advice, the instruction to study God's word. So that's what I'm telling you, that studying God's word requires you to give time to study as a person. You discipline yourself. I know that many people at such a time like this, they are not so disciplined disciplined in studying God's word. Even during the time when they were with their pastors, they were not disciplined in studying God's word. Somehow you'd find that you had instructed people to give themselves into practicing to study God's word, and they were like, I will do it. You know that mindset of procrastination. I will do it, thinking that they still have a lot of time. But let me tell you, than ever before, we have got no time left. We have got to be serious with God's word. We've got to go by what God is saying. We study the Word of God in the time that we are left with, that none of us could be knowing at this time. But we should put our hearts into God's Word than ever before. The Word must dwell in every system. The Word must make you detach your mind from any kind of maneuvers of Satan, any kind of evil agreements that you could have made one time in any way and you want to fulfill maybe now or in the time to come. This, the Word makes you to detach your soul out of it, and then you walk in the prescribed order in which the Lord wants you to walk in. Praise the Lord. So this is the time for you to make up decision whether you're going to put your mind on God's Word, or you're just going to sit and watch things happen around you. So let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, in all its intelligentsia, you know, in all its variety. Let it dwell in you richly. And when one of the ways that you're going to manage what is in you, what is dwelling in you richly, is by one, teaching. You see, you have to teach it to those who don't know. You have to make known the Word of Christ to those who do not know in every way. You're not going to say that there's no way now you have, there's no way to teach God's Word. There's been given to us by God platforms, you know, to teach God's Word. Then he says, admonishing one another in psalm, in hymns and spiritual songs. And all this that is talking about psalm, hymns and spiritual songs must be in line with the Word of Christ. All these hymns, all these psalms must testify about the finished work, what God has already done for us, what Christ has already done for us. Hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. So, I want to admonish each and every one of us who is listening that this is the time for you to get into the Word than ever before. This is not a time for you to just sit. This is not the time for you to just sleep. I'm not refusing you from sleeping on your bed, wherever you want. But this is the time for you to awaken the antennas of your spirit, the antennas of your soul, the antennas of your whatever your environment. And know that in the time that we are in, these are crucial times. And if these crucial times, it means it is an advantageous time for the Christian. But if you are not alert, you're going to miss out. You've got to be alert on what is happening at this time, and we are like in the finishing line, and it's good to know the way you finish. It's good, you know, you might have started bad, but the way you finish must be good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So get that to you. Colossians 3:16. Another one that I want to open for you is Psalm 119, Psalm 119 verse 105. He says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word is a lamp. Thy word is a lamp. Not anything, not policies. Thy word is a lamp. Not any kind of strategy that the enemy is coming up with. Thy word is a lamp. Meaning any kind of policy, any kind of strategies that the enemy has come up with or is coming up with, we are not going to agree on it. Why? Because thy word is a lamp unto my feet. That means his word is what guides out the conversation that we have. Okay? The manner of life that we live, it is his word that guides it. Say amen. It is the Word of God that guides your manner of life. So even in such times like this, or in the time to come, the Word of God must guide your conversation. The Word of God must guide your manner of life. You know, knowing what's happening around the world right now, you could have nothing to say apart from staying on God's Word. You see that? Staying on God's Word. Because when you look at what is going around, the plans of the enemy, the strategies that he's putting out, you just look at darkness. You just see darkness. So you see, the will of the devil is darkness. He's spelling out darkness. He's spelling out wickedness around the world. But if you are the light, like me, like you, you will know that this is our direction. This is our direction. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. So even in the midst of the dark strategies, even in the midst of the wicked principles, even in the midst of the wicked strategies,
We are not going to allow to succumb to the wicked what? Strategies, principles, policies. We are going to be bold concerning what God said. He said that thy word, my word is already a lamp unto your feet. That's what he's saying to you today. He says, my word is already a lamp unto your feet. That means, actually, as I speak right now, you already know what to do. You already have the answer to whatsoever is happening around the world. You don't need to be surprised. You don't need to cry. You don't need to be worried. You don't need to be walking in fear in such a time like this. I have the answer. Say, I have the answer. Say it again, I have the answer. You know, many times we talk about boldness, but this is now where boldness is. Boldness means you accepting and walking the word of God the way it is without changing its mindset, without succumbing to any kind of policy, without succumbing to any kind of strategy, without succumbing to any kind of promise, covenant that the enemy is organizing for this world. We cannot succumb to any wicked practices. We cannot succumb to whatever the enemy is arranging, because there's something that God already arranged for us. What has God arranged to us? God has arranged to us, and he has told us that his word is a lamp onto our feet. So we have God's arrangement in our lives. We already have the plans and purposes of God in our lives. Praise the Lord. He says that, and a light onto my path. So my path is sure in such a time like this. Just imagine, even amidst what is happening, we still have the guide light given to us by God. God is still giving us the guide in how we are supposed to walk in such times like this. He has been speaking to us through different men of God around the world that in such times like this we need to be joyous. Number two, we need to pray. Okay? We need to pray. So if you hear the Spirit of God communicating and telling you to pray, then you need to do what? You need to pray. When he says that you need to be you need to be joyous, then be joyous among many things that are happening in this world. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For this is our light. The light to our path. The light to our path. Say amen. And this is what you should hang on. This is what should guide your movement in such a time like this. This is what should guide your movement in such a time like this. Psalm 119 verse 130. He says that the entrance of thy word giveth light. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Maybe you found yourself fearing. Maybe you found yourself unguided in such a time like this. You don't need to look for much. Just get to the word. The entrance of thy word giveth light. That means in God's word there is what? There is light. There is direction. He says it giveth understanding unto the simple. That means to those who are of low understanding. He gives them direction. He gives them understanding. So in such a time like this, what you require is understanding of the mind of God concerning the times, and then you walk with boldness. Say amen. Say, I refuse to fear. Say, the wisdom of God is working in me. Say it again, the wisdom of God is working in me. The plan of God is working in me. Let me tell you something that God said in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. He says that, for I know the thoughts. I know the thoughts. He says God knows the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Are you hearing that? Thoughts of peace. Say, thoughts of peace. So, and not of evil. You see, God has never had thoughts of evil to a Christian or to anyone. Actually, he has no thoughts of evil. He has no plan of evil in anyone's life. He doesn't have that plan at all. He only has the plan, the thoughts of peace. Even right now, when he tells us to pray, he's telling us to pray so that peace may prevail. Yeah, peace may prevail. For to God, he wants peace. The men of this world that are planning whatever, they are after evil, because that's their plan. They are of men. But this is the plan of God. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." That means all the time God is thinking about you. Say amen. God is thinking about you in this season. He's thinking about you. He's thinking about your progress. He's thinking about your success. He's thinking about your prosperity. He's thinking about the future of your eternity. He's thinking about it. Some of you right now already quaking. Some people are asking, you know, I was on WhatsApp and somebody was going, "Am I really going to make it for the rapture?" I was like, look at this one. You know, the thoughts that the Father has towards us as a church is peace. And we have got to be bold about this. We have got to be bold about this. Because you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. That is it. It is settled. The thoughts of God concerning you now is peace. It is peace, and not of evil. So, son of God, child of God who is listening to me, and that one who is in right now in our studio, you should not begin to think about missing. This is not a time for thinking about missing. We still have some time to preach the gospel to many people around the world. But even that, even if we don't have that time, but you shouldn't start thinking about things of, will I make it? Will I not make it? That's not your portion. The thoughts of God towards you is peace. Say, the thoughts of God towards me is peace. Say it again. The thoughts of God towards me is peace. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I've not yet even entered into what I'm supposed to share, but I just want to encourage you to focus on God's thoughts, on God's word. Let me just open to you another thing that you will help you. The thoughts of God to us is what? Peace. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Verse 1, it says that, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Say amen. So, therefore, being justified, that means we are justified men. We are justified men. We are justified women. So, it says that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you have peace with God and you don't be raptured? What kind of person are you? We have peace with God. And then he says we have been justified. That means we have been acquitted from every kind of accusations, from every kind of sin, from every kind of funny covenants that we had made before. We have been acquitted. We are now in a different class. We are in the class of God. So we have peace with God. We have rest with God. Say amen to that. Amen. Hallelujah. So focus on this. Focus on God's word. Focus on God's thoughts in such a time like this. Yesterday, the Spirit of God began to talk to us about a subject, and he was asking us a question, and then he said, "Who is with your mouth?" I believe right now you should be having the answer. Oh, hallelujah. Say, "My mouth has been given to me for utterance." Say it again. "My mouth has been given to me to bring forth solutions. And God, by His Spirit, is depending on me." Say it again. "God, by His Spirit, is depending on me." So I'm here to tell you that God is depending on you. You that is listening to me, God is depending on you in such a time like this. You don't need to be worried about anything, because all the flashes of heaven are on you right now. Heaven is depending on you. You should know that. Do you know which kind of family that you are in for me to tell you that God is depending on you? Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. See the family that you're in. It says that, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion." You have come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. Then it says the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of what? Angels. Next. It says to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. 24. Then he says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of what? Abel. We are in a place where better things have been spoken about. That's the place where we are in right now. So we are a family. This is our family. So if that is our family, then you should know that God has posted us on earth for something. Hallelujah. Know that God has posted me on earth for something. God has posted me on earth for something. No wonder the Bible says, for our conversation is in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. So we have been posted for a great responsibility that we have. So God gives us a mandate to use our mouth well while we are here, to make sure that we change this environment so that the people that are in may be able to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, may be able to accept our citizenship. Say amen. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I'm a citizen of heaven. Say, I'm a citizen of heaven. Say it again. I'm a citizen of heaven. And I know who I am. I belong to this family. You know, I'm provoked again. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 14. Look at what the Lord says. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and the earth is named. Oh, hallelujah. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. This is, now if you were doubting that you were in the family of God, this is it. He says that of whom the whole family in heaven and earth, there is a family that is on earth. And that family is you and me. And then he says that of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That means in heaven, if they are named after the purpose of God, that means we are also named after the purpose of what? God. Let's say the whole heaven is named Jesus. It means all of us here are called Jesus. We have somebody called Teacher Paul Jesus. We have somebody called Apostle Susan Jesus. We have somebody called Prophet Mercy Jesus. We have somebody called Pastor Brenda Jesus. So if it was about literal naming, then we are called Jesuses. Isn't that beautiful? Then you start saying that you're going to miss the rapture. What's wrong with you? So there is a family that is on earth that God cannot leave out. So that family has been given a responsibility. And that's why in such a season like this, God is saying that our mouths are so, so important in making sure that we bring forth the strategies of God to prevail before the enemy shoots far. Hallelujah. Before the enemy shoots far, we are the restraining power of evil. And we are going to use our mouth to restrain everything that the enemy has planned in such times like this. Oh, hallelujah. With our mouth, we are going to restrain. With our mouth, we are going to rejoice. With our mouth, we are going to declare the light of God all over the face of the earth. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, who is with your mouth? Who is with your mouth? Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. I want to read for you from again verse 10. We are still looking at Exodus chapter 4 from verse 10. It says that, and Moses said unto the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. You know, you know, I've laughed because God knew already that he was going to talk to Moses to go and use his mouth. He knew about this. He did not give him any kind of weapon. He didn't say, you know what? You have the weapon of mass destruction. This is a nuclear bomb. Go and quench your Pharaoh wherever he is. This is AK-47. You've got to go and deal with those taskmasters who are disturbing the children of Israel. And you know their boss, their president is Pharaoh. So he needs a grunet. So you've got to put on a grunet. You need to look as a soldier. But did you know that Moses was a soldier? Moses was actually a warrior, a serious warrior. But then God did not tell him anything of that. He didn't tell him, you know, get a spear in your hand, get a gurunet in your hand, all these kind of things in your hand so that you may be able to prevail, because you know Egypt is a nation that is quite terrific in terms of arms. And you know, the laws and rules that were in the land of Egypt were really hard. They were really hard. The principles that they were there were really hard. But you see, God did not use physical weapons in any way. So he approached, by the time he approached Moses, knowing that he was going to use Moses. And number two, by the time he approached Moses, he knew very well that Moses was a stammerer. Praise the Lord. He knew that Moses was a stammerer. It's just like right now, in such a time like this, I can leave this to such a time like this. There are many people who are saying they don't know how to pray. God is telling them to pray, but they're saying, you know, for us, we have never prayed. But you see, God already knew that you don't know how to pray, but he's telling you to pray. So that meaning that when you start to pray, it means the miracle will begin from there. He will start guiding you on how to pray. So Christian, who is there, you need to begin to pray. So he says, and Moses said unto the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. That means I cannot talk well. I cannot bring forth the meaningful words that you want me to what? To take forth. Then he says, neither hereto, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech. I am slow of speech. That means that, you know, I cannot talk faster for the point to reach home. I cannot bring it forth. In other words, if I am to go, I'm going to be like Elohim. I am. So Pharaoh will even chase me from his presence. He will even tell me, who is this who is talking to me? Who is this who says that his God has been speaking to him? Because he's first of all slow of what? Speech. So he felt inadequate going to talk to someone who already knows how to speak on him. You know, how are you going to tell Pharaoh that God has sent you when you are stammering? Pharaoh is going to say, why couldn't your God heal your voice? Why couldn't your God open up your vocal cords for you to do what? To speak well. But that was not the mindset of God. Then he said, verse 11. He says that, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? In other words, he begins to question Moses. Who has made man's mouth? In other words, God couldn't have asked him this question if Moses just allowed to go. Because already there was a prearranged what? Plan. There was already a plan. There was already a plan. For example, right now there is already a plan for peace. There is already a plan for rest in the nations of the world. But God has sent us. We don't need to complain. We don't need to tell him that, you know what, God, we don't know how to pray. You don't know. We don't know how to ABCD. We don't know how to this. What God wants of us is to move, to take a step of faith and start to speak. Why? Because in his mind, there is already a preordained order of peace, a preordained order of finishing his work. Hallelujah. So the church is not going to be taken charge of. The church is not going to be belittled. The church is not going to be put down when the plan of God is there. So God now tells us, you know what? You know what? You need to pray. You need to make sure you activate this plan to come out so that it prevails over the nations of the world, because the plan is already there. You don't need to say that you are not eloquent. You don't need to say that there's no time. He has given you the time that you have now to be eloquent. Hallelujah. So he said, God asks him, who made man's mouth? Moses, who made man's mouth? Who made man's mouth? In other words, right now you're saying that you don't know how to pray. Who causes the other to pray? It's God that causes you to what? To pray. What you only need is to set your environment. Set your environment well as a fertile ground for you to pray. And then the Spirit of God will start to lead you in the prayer mode. Hallelujah. So who has made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb? Or the deaf? Or the seeing? Or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Praise the Lord. That means that Moses, trust in my ability. Trust in me who opens deaf ears. Trust in me that causes mouths to speak. In such a time like this, you say that you do not know how to pray. Trust that it is me that can guide you in the principles on how you are supposed to pray. You're not going to just pray what you do not know, like people who want to pray without guidelines of the Spirit. They don't want to be specific. But he says that I, the Lord, cause the deaf to hear. I, the Lord, cause the dumb to speak, including the deaf right now that are causing the world turmoil. Right now, God can cause them to hear our voices. Yes, God can open up their ears. God can open up their eyes to see that the power of God has to prevail. The light of God has to prevail. You see that? It is I, the Lord, that opens deaf ears, blind eyes. Say amen. Verse 12 says, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth. Moses, I will be with thy mouth. I have taken charge of your mouth. Your mouth now has become mine. That means I'm going to use your mouth to bring forth the utterance. That means when I begin to utter, when you begin to utter words, it is me that is doing what? Uttering. Say amen. So this is what is happening in this season. As you know, as we engage to use our mouth to speak, the Spirit of God is praying through us. The Spirit of God is praying through us. That's the reason why we have to give ourselves a good environment to speak forth God's word. The word of God in your mouth is God talking. The word of God in your mouth is God bringing rest to the nations of the world. The word of God in your mouth is God bringing peace. Is God bringing healing to the children of God in the world. Is settling men and women around the world. God's word in your mouth. Say the word of God in my mouth. And can I prophesy something, that the words of God in your mouth are not going to come to you back to you void. You're coming back with a testimony. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. In such a time like this, it's good for you to be relevant to the world. Be relevant to the world. Be relevant to the world. Be a part and parcel of whatsoever is happening around the world. Be the Christian that is going to, that has made up his mind to stand for the right thing, for the right cause, and then you pray. Let your voice be heard in the realm of the Spirit. Because every time you pray in the Spirit, your voice takes charge. Your voice begins to reign. Many of these things that are happening right now, they are actually spiritual. They are not physical. You're just seeing the physical manifestation of them. But they are actually, they have a spiritual impact. And we as spirit men, we can reverse every negativity. We can reverse every wicked plan of the evil one. And in the name of Jesus, they will not prevail. God has given us a mouth at such a time like this. And we are using it right in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Can you write this in your book? It says that when God is with your mouth, when God is with your mouth, when God is with your mouth, it means the wisdom. It means the wisdom to exact change is already present with you. When God is with your mouth, it means the wisdom to exact change is already present with you. So, I want you to repeat these words after me. Lift up your hand and say, the wisdom to exact change is already present with me. You see, this is the reason why God is depending on you in such a time like this. Because he knows that because he has said that he's with your mouth, he is with your mouth. It means you have the wisdom to exact change. To make sure that change is present in the nations of the world. To make sure that anything that is trying to go ahead of the church is reversed. Are you seeing that? So we have the wisdom. We have the wisdom. And you know what? The testimony about us. Can I open for you something? 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1 verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Oh, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Can you imagine that? Who of God is made unto us wisdom. Then he says, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That means that Christ has been made unto us wisdom. He has been made unto us righteousness. I mean, this is our portion in such a time like this. This is our portion. So that's why God is telling us right now that if we say that is with our mouth, it means we have wisdom in our mouth to exact change. To exact change. What does it mean? It means we have in our mouth the purposes, the plans, and pursuits of God. That's what is in our mouth. And what we are speaking right now is the plans and purposes and pursuits of what? Of God. That's what we are exacting in the nations of the world. We are saying that the devil cannot prevail over the plans of God, over the purposes of God, over the pursuits of what? God. He cannot go ahead of the plans of God. No. He cannot. God has a plan on how the church is supposed to be. God has a plan on how the church is supposed to prevail. God has a plan for the prosperity of the church. God has a plan for the economy of the church. So the enemy cannot start to go ahead of the plan of God. No, it cannot happen. It cannot happen. Why? Because we have the plan of God in our mouth. We have the plan of God in our mouth. So that's why God is telling us, when you see such things happening right now, begin to prevail with my plan. Begin to prevail with my pursuits. Begin to prevail with my purpose. Let the whole world know that this is my plan. This is my purpose. And how are we going to do that? By announcing it, by speaking it forth. By praying in the Spirit. By making sure we reverse every action of the wicked man. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So that this is not their time. This is not their time. Like the men of God have spoken. This is not their time. So if this is not their time, then it means this is the time for the plans of God to continue prevailing. Hallelujah. And my sister, my brother, I want to tell you, at such a time like this, this is only what you're going to do to make the plans of God prevail. Through your mouth. That's why God sent Moses. He told him, you know what, I'm sending you to Egypt to go and make my plan prevail in Egypt. I know that there are taskmasters there. They have made their plans. They have made these people to make bricks with straws. They have really made them hungry, you know. And they have made them angry. Not only hungry, but also angry. But I'm sending you with my plans. I'm sending you with my purposes. I'm sending you with my pursuits. I want you to go there and tell Pharaoh to let my people go and worship me. This is what God is talking to us in such a time like this. He's telling us, you know what, to reverse all the plans of the enemy and tell the enemy, let the church worship the living God. Let the church prevail with the plans of God. Hallelujah. The next point I want you to write is that the word of God in my mouth is the direct fruit of God being with my mouth. The word of God in my mouth is the direct fruit of God. The word of God in my mouth is the direct fruit of God being with my mouth. So, when I speak forth words of God, when I speak forth words of God, is exactly God himself speaking. Is exactly God himself speaking. You know why we are emphasizing you to use your mouth well? Is because your words can sustain. Your words sustain a lot. How many of you know that words created the heaven and the earth? And Jesus still spoke and he said that, you know, heaven and earth will pass away. But my words will not what? Pass away. In such a time, the words in your mouth are very, very important. I know that also in this season, there are many people who could be hungry and people are taking food to them. That's not bad. God has given you the ability to take food to the hungry. Please take for them. But you know that is not quite sustainable. It's good. I would like to do that. Handing over food to task force and all those kind of things, feeding the hungry, is very, very good. And I support you to do that in faith. That is very powerful. But I want to tell you something that is sustainable. What I'm giving you is sustainable. Because as you speak the word of God, when the plans of the church prevail, it's even going to be better. It's even going to be better. You know, you can take food to people today, and then tomorrow you'll not take anything. And they will still complain. That, you know what, the one who brought for us food yesterday did not come back. But you know, when you continue speaking words, you will sustain them. That's why you see God spoke to us in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let me show you something. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. He says something, that I exhort therefore, that first of all, taking of food to the public, taking soap to the public. You see, it was not sustainable for God. As much as that is good, I'm not saying it's bad. It's good, Prophet Alex. It's good for you to carry posho 100 kilos and take it to Kasokoso, and take it to Bison in Tororo, you know, and take it to wherever. Name those, all those suburbs of people who are hungry. That is very fantastic. As a Christian, we ought to do good. When you have the ability, Prophet Mercy, you do good to the people who are living around you. Do good. Apostle Susan, do good to the people who are living in Mbalwa. But then, there's something higher that God said. You see, that I exhort you therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Can you feed all men with portion and beans? You see that? So this is sustainable. Then verse 2. He says for kings, that means for presidents, for governments all over the world, the nations of the world, and for all that are in what? Authority. In such a time like this, there are people who are in authority, but they may be using their authority to endanger the church. But we are saying no, through prayer. So, then he says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and what? Honesty. So the need for us to pray is so that the church may live a good and quiet life. We require to live a good and what? Quiet life. There is a form of quietness that God has given the church. So, but if we don't pray, if we don't speak, if we don't make declarations, if we don't use our mouth right, it means we are not going to live a peaceable and quiet what? Life. If you're going to only use food, posho and beans, to take forth in the society, you're not going to live a quietable life in any way. Praise the Lord. Say amen. Say, I speak forth words. Say again, I speak forth words. And I act the words that I speak. Say amen. Now, I want to you to open Exodus again, chapter 4, that verse 12. So you have to speak God's word. You have to speak God's word. All that are listening to me in PTMI, PTC, we have to join all the men of God around the world to be concerned about this, and then we speak God's word, not in fear, but we take up our place of authority as Christians, and then we speak God's word. And he says that, now therefore go, and I will be with your what? With your mouth. And teach. And teach. I want to tell you what the word teach there means. The word teach means, one, to throw. It also means to shoot. It also means to shoot. It also means to cast forth. And then, it also means to pour out. It also means to pour out. Among many other things that instructs and the rest. But I want to give you the meaning of this. It was not that, the mindset here is not that God was going to take Moses and start teaching him now this is this, okay? As much as the meaning of teach also there can be mean instruct, can also mean other things. But I want to bring for you the relevant meaning of what God meant there. Then the word, it says that, and teach thee what thou shalt say. When you look at your strong concordance, you'll know that the word thee what thou shalt say is one word called daba. Okay? That means to converse. That's the first meaning. That means to converse. That also means to command. That also means a command or to command, whatever you may choose. To command or a command. To converse or a converse. It also means words. Actually, figuratively, it also means what? Words. Praise the Lord. So, in that verse, I want to give you the meaning of what God was saying to Moses. So, God being with Moses' mouth meant he had intentions of throwing forth his command to the enemy of Israel. Write it. Write it. God being with Moses' mouth meant, the meaning of I will be with your mouth means God was saying that I will throw my command using your mouth. Okay? I will throw my command using your mouth to the enemy of what? Israel. It also means I will cast forth words by your mouth. When he says to teach, okay? I will cast forth words by your mouth to the enemy of Israel. Then also I will pour out the word like the flow of water. So God was to use Moses' mouth to cast forth his words. That's what he meant in that scripture. Say amen. So I want you to note this. Note this. The word of God in our mouth is the heavenly right. Is the heavenly right we have over nations. The word of God in our mouth is the heavenly right we have over nations. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9. Yesterday is what we ended with. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9. It says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, see, I have put my words in thy mouth. Hallelujah. The greatest thing that God puts in the mouth of someone is his words. That's how God operates. He said in John chapter 6 verse 63, my words are what? Spirit and life. Is that what he said? Yes. My words are spirit and what? Life. So God is not going for the option of physical food. He's going for the option of what? Of life. And he's saying that the Lord put forth his word and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, see, I have put my words in thy mouth. Verse 10. See, again the word is there. See, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord says, see. The Lord says, see. Open your eyes and what? See. And you know, the Christian sees by talking. That is so funny. But it says we see by talking. We see by talking. You don't just say, I'm seeing. No. We see by talking. You see? He says that, see, I have this day set thee over nations and over the kingdoms. You know, God never gave us a physical key over nations. There are people who think that they own this world. They own these nations of the world, right? Who want to make all these kind of governments and all those kind of things. But can you imagine? We have a word over us, the church. We have a word over us. He says that, see, I have this day set thee over the nations, over all tribes, over all languages, over all. I've set thee over. Over means he's given us authority. And what is the authority there? The authority that he has given us is the word. Say amen. Say he has given me authority, which is the word. So God setting us there, he set us using words. And then the right that he gave us is words. So the control that we have over the nations of the world, the economy of the world, is words. Is words. So see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. To do what? To do what? Number one. Let's read together. Number one. Read it. Number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. And two. Praise the Lord. He says that he has given us a mandate. The authority he has given us over nations is not for nothing. Imagine he spoke to Jeremiah a long time, but this is applicable to us. The authority that we have over nations is to make sure that we bring peace in nations. Praise the Lord. And the first thing he says that is to root out. Root out what? I want to bring out something. To root out. To root out. The word root out. The word root out is the Hebrew word nathas. Nathas. Which means to expel. To expel or to pluck up. So in this case, what are we rooting out? Do we have the authority to root out? Do we have the authority to root out? Do we have the authority to root out? Praise the Lord. So we have the authority to root out. We are not praying for the authority to root out, because he has already set us over nations. Can you be attentive? Praise the Lord. He has already set us to be over nations. So that's why he tells us to expel, to root out. So to root out what? Any ideas of Satan that was planted to frustrate the spread of the gospel. To frustrate the spread of the what? The gospel. Any kind of foundations that were planted forth by any kind of agent of Satan must be rooted out. Any kind of idea, any kind of thought must be rooted out. And he says again that the authority to root it out has been given to us. So it doesn't matter where you are, Christian. It doesn't matter where you are, saint. You have been granted the authority. This is not a fight. This is us taking our place, taking our authority and addressing the man that is behind all these things. Are you seeing that? That's why God has given you a mouth. That's why this is with your mouth. So that you root out your word. Your task is simple. To root out, to say no. And when you say no, you say no. So if all the Christians can raise up their voices to rejoice with a no, then things are done. Praise the Lord. So he says to root out any ideas of Satan that are planted, that are frustrating the spread of the what? The gospel. Number two, to pull down. The word to pull down there. The word to pull down there in the Hebrew is nathats. Nathats. That means to cast down. Means to cast down. It also means to beat down. It also means to beat down. So what are we beating down? What are we beating down here? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4. Monde le brodaba sopra derehesi la barakaya sataya bahaya. Oh, hallelujah. Braseke beleneke baradabo sapraneke sila bahaya. Brande lebrekishala. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 says, in parenthesis, it tells us that for the weapons, he's explaining something that he already spoke up there. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. That means we are not fighting a physical fight. Okay? There's no fight which is physical here. So he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down. You see there? To the pulling down of strongholds. What are strongholds? Strongholds are theories. Strongholds are theories. There is not directly talking about Satan, although Satan can be behind those theories. Okay? He's talking about theories. He's talking about principles. He's talking about ideas of men, philosophies of men. Philosophies of men, theories of men that are coming, that they are coming with at such a time like this. You know some of them. You're hearing them on the internet. You're hearing theories that are being made behind to frustrate the gospel. The Bible says that we should do what? Cast it down. We should pull it down. And we use words. We use words. Which words? Words of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So we bring forth the purposes of God, and it prevails over those theories. You see that? So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. That means the things have held people's minds. They have held their mind to think that the church is not needed. They have held their minds to think that, no, we don't need it. It's only us who have the solution to this. No. We are pulling it down, and we're saying that Christ must prevail. Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2 verse 8. Colossians chapter 2 verse 8. It says, beware. Beware. Lest any man spoil you. That means take away your goods. Through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of what? Of men. After the rudiments of the world. And not after Christ. These men that are planning all these kind of theories, principles, are after the rudiments of this world. And not after Christ. So he says, beware lest any man spoil you. Through what? Philosophies. Through theories. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Say amen. So we are casting down what we call imaginations. Imaginations are reasonings against the Christian faith. Imaginations, in this case that we are casting down, are reasonings against the Christian faith. Then also, we are casting down every high thing. We are casting down every high what? Thing. That means every prideful mindset that wants to bring down the plans of what? God. And then we are casting down thoughts. That means mental perceptions that are geared towards evil practices. Mental perceptions. When we talk about thoughts there, you're talking about mental perceptions that are geared towards evil purposes. We are casting them down. So my question is, how do we cast them down? Not by saying, I cast you down. Not by saying, I cast your thoughts down. Not by saying, I cast your imaginations down. Not by saying, I cast every high thing down. No. How we cast them down is by instead lifting. Are you hearing? Lifting and declaring forth the thoughts of God to prevail. Hallelujah. We are not addressing demons. We are not telling them, we cast your thought. We are instead announcing the success of the world. We are instead announcing progress in the world. We are instead announcing peace in the world. We are instead announcing agreement to the church. You see that? That's what we are announcing forth. So it is not by you going to pray and then start, I cast down every imagination. I cast down. No. Even if you can do that, that is not bad. But then if you are doing that, then you should do the higher one. So you should lift up the highest thing that God has said. Okay? That high thing that God has said, you should lift it up above what? Above the prideful mindset that is geared towards frustrating the gospel. What is that high thing that God has said concerning the gospel? Is what you should lift. What is that imagination that God has said concerning what? the gospel is what you should lift. Every time you lift the imagination of the gospel, the imagination of the evil one is frustrated. Every time you lift up the high thing about the gospel, then the high thing of the enemy is done what? Is put down. That thing that is prideful, that is bringing forth. Every time you lift up God's thoughts and you announce them forth using your mouth, the thoughts of the enemy are what? Frustrated. Say amen. More to end. The word to destroy. The word to destroy. The word to destroy is the Hebrew word abad. Abad. That means to cause to perish. It means to cause to perish. It means to cause to perish. Cause to perish. Then he also means to put to death. To put to death. He also means to blot out. Glory to God. To it means to blot out. So go to Jeremiah 1 verse 10. He says that he has called us to destroy. To cause to perish. To vanquish and annihilate all plans of the evil one. We have the authority. It says to throw down. It says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy. To destroy. Destroy means to put an end. Okay? To put an end to something. So that it loses its locomotive power. He loses direction. So at this time, we are supposed to make him lose direction completely. That's what you've been called to do in such a time like this. He thinks he's directed. We can make him to lose direction. Use your words to destroy. What does the Bible say? 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. Leto kabarateke bosaya. Mondo borotoboya. Say, I pull down. And I cast down and I destroy the evil works of the enemy. It says that he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God, say the Son of God. For this purpose, the Son of God, that word Son of God, of course, means it was talking about Jesus, but revelationally is talking about you. He's talking about you. Are you getting that? So he's saying that for this purpose, you were manifested. You have been brought forth as a new man in Christ. That you might destroy. You might means it is your decision. Ha! It is your decision, ladies and gentlemen. And I have decided in such a time like this that he will not prevail. The word says that you might. He says he might, of course. But I'm saying that you might. That you might decide. Destroy the works of the devil. Praise the Lord. That you may destroy the works of the devil. You might destroy the works of the devil. So this is why we were made manifest. This is why we were made manifest at such a time like this. Say, this is why I was made manifest in such a time like this. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has called you to destroy. He has called you to put an end to evil practices. And he has said that he's going to use your mouth. So activate the use of your mouth. God is with your mouth. And the last verses tell us that we have also been called to build. That means to restore. That means to make sure that we make things work for the nations of the world and for the church. Hallelujah. We have been given to plant. What does planting means? To establish. To make sure we bring forth new things that we want in this place. That we want in the nations of the world. Everywhere around the world. We can bring forth new things. But it is dependent on your decision. It is dependent on your mouth that God is with. Say amen. Can you lift up your hand? Lift up your hand in such a time like this and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. Begin to thank God in the name of Jesus. Come on. Manto lebra soje lebra bako soto rabahaya. Lerento kobo sote lebra doshi lebra koto la mahaya. Mende lebro takaba sote lebra dabahaya. Manto kebete kisato rodoloboshita la bahaya. Bronde lebro kababa seke le dorodoloboshite le mahaya. Mondo kota rebete ke soto la bahaya. Monto kabasete. We have a holy calling in our lives. God has called us in such a time like this. He has set nations before us. In the name of Jesus Christ, leto ramande sile bahaya. We cannot be beaten down. We cannot fear in such a time like this. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our faith manifestation is built to another level. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we are bolder than ever before. For the word of God says that we have been given not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of boldness, the spirit of power, and of a sound mind. Letonga basete, lebarata kabasota labaha, belatore telebarade kasoya dabaha, andele bronda basaya. At such a time like this, the wisdom of God prevails all over the nations of the world. Yes, God's direction prevails over the nations of the world. Mantele rosa prade kabahaya. There is no principle of the enemy that shall prevail over the church. In the mighty name of Jesus, we come against every evil plan of the enemy. We come against all influences of Satan. We come against all his strategies in the name of Jesus Christ. We put an end to all of them by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we speak prosperity. We speak success. We speak the mind of God. The purposes of God will prevail in such a time like this. By the power of the Holy Ghost, we decree that people are preserved. We decree that people's minds are open in such a time like this. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I want everybody to pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Leto rabasota la barade kabaya. Mento la bruna basata le kabasojata. Mento rabede kesia. The policies of heaven are the ones that are prevailing in the nations of the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, no evil plan shall prevail. We frustrate all the evil plans of the enemy. We frustrate all the evil plans of the enemy. We frustrate all the policies of the enemy. We frustrate all kinds of goals. All kinds of developmental goals that are not of God, we frustrate them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We put an end to all of them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. All of them, we put an end to them. Let people go to the fire. Men don't lift up your voice, everybody. Men don't let Brandon say, take him. I am. Mandolo Procoto Lepasataya. Men don't let Brandon say, take him. And that kind of secret plan of the enemy, it is already frustrated. I declare it frustrated in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I declare it frustrated in the name of Jesus Christ. Mandolo Procotomaya, Mandolo Prorevesete, Lecotomoye Telemanabasaya, Mandolo Procotte Telemanabasia, Mandolo Mayanabosaya. No weapon point against the church can prosper in such a time like this. No weapon point against the ministry of God can prosper in any way. Every tongue that has risen against the church right now, we silence you. We silence you. We silence you right now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we decree the peace of God. We decree the hand of God. We decree the power of God. We decree the authority of God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, all over the governments of the world, we decree the light of God. We decree that governments are listening to the voice of God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, leke basota le mayara osa. Sopro sere brosita la mahaya. Mendo robo koto le mayara basata. Ke paro kabadete le brosita. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to thank you so much for listening. At such a time like this, you are strengthened with the Spirit. You are strengthened with might in your inner man. Nothing can move you. Nothing can turn your eyes in another direction. God already spoke to us, saying that you shall not look to the left nor to the right. Decide to move in the mind of God. Decide to walk the God path. Yeah, in the name of Jesus, agree only with the principles of God. In the name of Jesus, allow your faith to mount over every evil. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Even as we get back to work, even as we get back to all this kind of thing, I want you to decide, make up your mind that you're going to live for Jesus. Make up your mind that there is nothing else you're going to live for. You're not going to give your life asunder to the evil one, but you're going to keep focus, as the scripture says. As the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, that looking unto Jesus, we shall continue to look unto Jesus. We shall continue to look at His plans, purposes and pursuits, no matter what happens. In the name of Jesus, I decree over you and over your household right now, I decree strength. I decree courage. I decree victory. I decree joy. I decree prosperity. I decree provision. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Receive it wherever you are. Be touched by the power of the Holy Ghost. Any kind of sickness and disease, I command you right now, be healed in your bodies by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' glorious name. Keep on studying God's word. Keep on praying. Take off some time during the day, even without food. Take off some time even without food. And just pray in tongues. Study God's word. And pray. Be among those that are praying for the nations of the world. Be among those who are praying for the church. Get concerned. Let your heart be there. Because if we are not concerned, then the gospel is not going to be moving. We have to get concerned together. Take off some time away from food. Let food not distract you. And let your soul be open to God. And begin to listen to His words. Begin to listen to the light that He's giving you, so that we may proceed forward. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for listening today. And I wish you the best. Until again Sunday, when we shall be here broadcasting and live streaming. In the name of Jesus, thank you all those who came today for the live stream, and those who attended today. In the name of Jesus Christ, to God be the glory. You are blessed and you are fruitful. In Jesus' mighty name. I remain Apostle Brian, and I want to thank so much Teacher Paul Refreshers. Thank you very much for giving us a platform to shine and to preach the gospel in such a time like this. We rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen. Goodbye.
Praise the Lord. Come on, can you give God a mighty hand?